So if you're anything like me, and I guess most of us are, specifically in respect to AI, we're completely excited about it and the prospects that it holds, but at the same time, I think we're absolutely terrified by it. So to help us separate the real impact from the noise, we're joined by Ian Bessarabia, an AI expert who may try and explain some of the intricacies and the trends and where we're going with this frightening but exciting technology. So, Ian, thanks for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon. Appreciate your time.
Good afternoon, Simon. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
So, I guess before we get into the deep end, give me a picture as to how AI is actually being used in everyday South African life right now.
Well, I think the reality, and not to scare the listeners any more than you have already, I would say that either directly or indirectly, it's permeating our lives. Unbeknown to us, and it's across the board. So everything from an interaction that you have with a chatbot, when you go onto a website, I think everybody now has seen those little I would say little
Icon
windows that
thingies.
pop up, and yeah, the icon thing is a little avatar comes up and starts chatting. That's AR. You think about where you're getting like predictions on things. We always spoke about, I'll never forget, my mother used to tell me how amazing Facebook was because it knew how she was thinking. It would always come up with things that she was thinking. It could read her mind, and it was very much not, but it's very much about pattern recognition. So it's taking algorithms and that we've learned, that we've become familiar with, it's taking it to a different level, and it's giving more predictive analytics and more insights that becomes more personalized. So everything from a little chatbot through to recommendations that you're seeing on interactions you're making on the internet every day, through to banking and financial services. We're seeing it a lot where it's being used for fraud detection and for cybercrime. So it's very much, Simon, across the board. It's not limited to a little area, an innovation area. It's actually very, very much mainstream today.
Ian, I think I got the shock of my life when I heard it's actually going to be put into a chair. I mean, that just took it to an extreme that my mind, I could have lived 10 lifetimes. I wouldn't have thought you need an AI chip in a chair, but apparently one does, because your chair isn't going to be positioned the same way as my chair, as your mother's chair, as it's just it's even everyday objects that I never had any conception that would be application.
And I think, Simon, that's the irony of what AR and the potential of AI is, that everybody feared that technology and all of this would dehumanize us in a way and take the human out of the loop. But ironically, to your points about the personalization, is AI actually gives the opportunity to give you exactly what you need, what you want from a preference perspective. So if you took it back to your example of the chair, is that by using the sophisticated technology, you can get exactly what you wanted, which a human may never have done, because we've just gone and mass produced these things. Now you're kind of turning it on its head and saying, well, we can mass produce these chairs, but then we could put a little chip in that can then go and finesse it for you, for your needs.
Accepting that us people who are just a little bit older still need to know how to use the AI to get the chair to do what we want it to do. And it's just a funny aside. I was in Israel some time ago. An aunt of mine had bought some very fancy Chinese car. She didn't know how to work it, but the car was programmed in such a way that if she walked up to it, it would open for her and put the seat to where she was comfortable to sit. But it did the exact same thing for her husband, but they didn't know how to change it. So they had to ensure that the correct person went up to the car first so that the seat would be in the correct place for the correct person. I mean, that's just unimaginable to me. The new world, I guess.
Absolutely, and I think that's it is a new world, and that's the risk of just using that example is, we need to adapt ourselves to embrace AR rather than letting AR change us, so that we now have to kind of fit into AR. It's very much AI needs to fit into where we can benefit from it, and that's really the risk, Simon. That's if we want to talk about the pros and the cons of AI, which is with everything in life. I always use it as use the analogy of a scalpel. A scalpel can be used, the exact same instrument can be used either to save a person's life or in the wrong hands can be used to take a person's life. So once again, AI used in the wrong way will be detrimental to society and to us as human beings. But if we embrace it and we see the value of it, and we say, well, how can I actually benefit from this AI? And maybe one of the things just to share, Simon, is very much like a lot of the mundane tasks that we do. A lot of stuff that is very much brain numbing, if you want to call it that. A lot of those tasks are really tasks which AI is really set up for. Typical admin tasks and the like, because what those do is AI is super efficient. It can process stuff much faster, more accurately than we can. And it doesn't get tired. It doesn't complain. It doesn't get tired. It carries on doing it. But what it equally does is it frees us up to have conversations like this, or to do other value-added stuff. However, if you look at it from the skills development perspective, is that means that we have a responsibility and an obligation to look at how we develop ourselves. And that's something that is becoming very much talking about your example of Israel, is that you're never too old to learn. Because if you're gonna embrace this technology and that, you're gonna have to learn. And it's the same thing. We all have to continue learning. The difference is we can't all go now and do a 3-year bachelor's degree or do a degree on AR, because by the time you finished your degree, it'll become obsolete. And that's the scary part, I think you allude to, is that AI is moving at such a pace that you have to find a way to keep up with the technology
Exactly.
and be aware.
Exactly. So tell me, in your opinion, what are the biggest myths that you wish people would let go of in respect to AI?
Well, I think the biggest myth and the biggest fear that people is that AI is going to
Take the jobs.
take the jobs away. And I think that is that's kind of a situation of if you've watched those movies like I, Robot and all those science fiction movies where robots take over the world. I kind of don't buy that, and I don't buy it from the perspective is because I think hopefully as human beings we have the seichel, so as to speak, to find a, I can't find a better Yiddish word, but we have the seichel to realize and not become lazy, because if we do become lazy, then we do run that risk. So I'm not saying it's it's impossible, but if we embrace AI as like an assistant or a partner or an enabler, then the person that's going to take your job is not necessarily a robot or AI. It's going to be the person that has really advanced themselves to the level where they're using AI to become more efficient, to become more productive, to add more value than the person next to them that's not using AI. So maybe to give an example, it's like if you and I were given a whole list of numbers, and you had a calculator and I just had a pen and paper, you're gonna beat me. You're going to
Sure.
beat me hands down.
Sure.
So the thing is that that's how we need to look at it, is to say, don't fear it because you're scared of it. Embrace it, but you need to always be in control of it. So I think that's one of the biggest myths that people need to accept. And the sooner, and I think it's imperative, the sooner we start learning about it, playing around with it, becoming aware of it, and then identifying the skills that we need, that's going to be a big factor.
These are big questions, I know, but just continuing in the same kind of vein, what are the biggest ethical or safety concerns that we should be aware of?
So the one thing that AI is it's unlike Google and other things where it was very much like you would input a search request. You type in a search request. I'm talking about very very simple. You type in a request and you get back information. There wasn't really a connection. It was like almost a one way. You'd send a request and you'd get information back. As AI is becoming more sophisticated, it's becoming more conversational. So you actually cannot distinguish whether now you're having a conversation with Simon or you're having a conversation with Simon's AI twin, you know, and that becomes very difficult because we then start to grow an attachment, and it's like social engineering, you know, you can actually be misled by AI. So that's one of the big ethical and risks. And that's why I always say to people, if in doubt, if you feel like something just doesn't feel right or that, rather just use your gut. This is where we need to use our intuition and our guts and say, well, this just doesn't sound right, and step back. And I think the one thing that we're really good at as a tribe is that we question a lot. So I would say that when in doubt, question, and try and avoid those ethical pitfalls. The other thing is always just for the listeners, don't. It's like if you wouldn't post it on social media or you wouldn't put it on a billboard, don't put it into AI. You know what I mean? It's not safe from that perspective. So watch personal information, watch ID numbers, bank accounts, all of that. Those are the risks that you've got to be careful of.
Yeah, that actually led me to exactly the next question, which was for, you know, the general person listening today who uses WhatsApp and online banking and social media. What should we understand as to how AI is using our data?
So I think the one thing is that everything that we engage with from a technology perspective, and that means literally from the moment we pick up our phone to the time we sit in front of our laptops, the TV channels we choose, the Netflix programs we choose, and all that, there's a massive amount of data that is being gathered. So the reality is that the internet or this whole World Wide Web, whatever you want to call it, has so much information on us already that we need to be cognizant of how that can be used. Now, it can be used in a way where it could benefit us, because if you think about the field of medicine, if information that is gathered about you can preempt a condition and avoid you having to go through preempt a heart attack or something like that, just because it's analyzing your data and saying, well, hold on, this doesn't look right. Ian hasn't been behaving properly. But on the other hand, people can use your data to create like a forgery of you, and that's what we call like deep fakes or replicate your voices and all of that. So I think the important thing is tread carefully. You know what I mean? Be curious, be inquisitive, but be cautious as well.
I have a minute left with you before we need to go to news and
Sure.
last question for the afternoon. If you had to predict, what is the one AI shift South Africans will definitely feel in the next 12 months?
Well, I think what we're gonna really see in the next 12 months is whether we can actually maintain all this generation of information, because it requires an immense amount of power. Now, you know, we've got a very rickety and rough power grid in that, and it consumes a lot of power, energy, and connectivity. So in the next 12 months, if we don't really focus on sorting out our power grid and our connectivity, we will fall behind, because we won't be able to be like the old days of telecom, where you only had one choice to connect to the internet, and that was dial-up. So that's going to be a big factor that may inhibit us from actually embracing or benefiting from AI.
Ian Bessarabia, AI expert, coach, speaker, and facilitator. You blew me away today. You certainly opened a whole can of worms. Gonna have to digest what you have said and come back at you again. Thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
You're most welcome. Thank you, Simon.